The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them.
The second reading is from Matthew 6, 25 to 33. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are not much more valuable than they. Can you, any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, on all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
I'm going to need a little bit of help from a couple of people. So I've got a table just here. Sorry, I'm afraid you're not be able to sit on that one.
I'll nick your seat instead.
Yes, you can. And I've got a little bucket with a few things in it. So anybody who's a child here, or a mother, can come and join me. But especially, is it Emma? This is Emre, everybody. And Lydia, are you going to come as well? Do you want to come? See what's in here? There's some little rattling tins here, listen. So, for my birthday, oh great, Lydia's coming in, so is Elizabeth, which is fantastic. Jessica, not your turn today, okay, another day, that'll be great. So I've got two little tins, and these were a birthday present from a friend of mine. Goodness, what do they sound like? Do they sound exciting? We don't know what's in them, and I'm not going to show you yet, I'm going to put them just there. But I've got all sorts of things in here as well, so would you just put your hand in there and get one of those, please, Lydia? And Emery, will you do the same thing, please? Now, what are those? Hold them up high so you can see them. What are they?
I've got an acorn.
You've got an acorn? Have you also got an acorn there, Lydia? I've also got an acorn. These are little miracles. We'll talk about them in a minute. So let's just put our acorns down there. What else have we got in this tin? What else can we find? Yes, a little tree. And some berries from a bush that I don't know the name of, but Ian does.
Cotoneaster, we think.
Cotoneaster, so red berries and a little tree. Now, what kind of tree could that be? You think it's just a bush? What do you think? I've got a clue, look. Yeah. What kind of tree is it? An oak. So where did the oak tree come from? How did that oak tree start growing? Lydia's right. This tiny little acorn was part of that little oak tree that started growing. Of course it was, we know that. What do you think is in these little red berries then? Do you think they're just pretty? Or is there something that's a message inside them? We'll think about that one. Let's open our tins. Now this one says it's a tin, butterfly mix. That's exciting. This says bee mix. I wonder what that is. Do you think it's honey? Do you want to take one out of the bee mix tin? If I can get it open. There we go. hold it up, show them the blue. Do you want to take one out of the butterfly mix tin? In fact, I'm going to give you a butterfly mix tin thing as well, and you a bee one as well. Now, these don't look anything like what I would expect. Actually, they look a bit like chocolate. Do you think we could eat those? I think no, okay. Good choice. Shall I tell you why? These are little bits of clay, and inside these little bits of clay, there's some tiny, what do you think? Not bees and butterflies, but seeds. Seeds, because if we plant these in the soil, and if we get some sunshine, and if we get some rain, guess what? We'll have a little harvest for the bees and the butterflies for next spring when they come and they're wanting some nectar and they're wanting some pollen and all sorts of things. Isn't that amazing? These little miracles of seeds. Now, what are these, all these different things got in common then? Our oak tree, our acorns, our little bee mix, our little butterfly mix, what have they got in common? What have they all got inside them? They all look kind of seed, aren't they? And they produce something. Do you know what I was thinking about? That each of these little seeds has got a little secret message from God planted inside it. And you know what the secret message is? The secret message is its DNA. It tells that little seed what kind of plant it's going to grow into. Even though we can't see this little message, it's there because when we put them in the ground and we water them and everything else, out comes things like this and this, the butterfly and bee mixes, and that's amazing. So I think God's pretty clever, don't you? Now you can keep those, you can plant them in your garden if you want, but I've got something else here, and it's something I'm going to ask you to help me with maybe during my talk or at the back of the church if you want to. On one sheet of paper, I've got God's wonderful world, and actually all these seeds are part of God's wonderful world, as we are too. And on this page, I've got, oh dear, the things that spoil God's wonderful world, things that make it not so nice. You can think about a few of those. And what I really like, and this is the same for any of you as well, during some of the songs, of, if you want to go and draw or write a word on one of these sheets of paper to say what makes God's world wonderful or what doesn't make God's world wonderful, that would be really great. And then at the end of the service, Ian will call you forward and we'll see all the different things that are on here and we can celebrate or think carefully about this one. Thank you so much, very much, very much help. So give him a big clap. That's really helpful.
We've chosen as the theme of this harvest, God's wonderful world, and one of the reasons why we've chosen that theme is because at the moment in Oldham Church, they've got a flower festival, and the theme of the flower festival, the Colchester Flower Rangers, have come and done probably about 15 arrangements, all with different themes of God's wonderful world. And actually there's one there that's of the planets. Very clever, very well done, very well designed. One of the things that tells us, gives us a message or a story of who God is the beauty, the order, the purpose, and the intricacy of the things in our world. We call it the teleological argument. Some of you might have heard of that. Teleological just means end or purpose. And St. Thomas Aquinas came up with the teleological argument. Well, he wasn't the first one, but he was one of the ones. And when he painted, he actually talked about a watch and a watchmaker and how a watch had to have a maker. That's intricate. The same with our world that's so intricate, have to have a maker. And they both said that maker is God. I like the argument, but I'm also aware that there's so much in our world that points in the opposite direction, that looks destructive, that looks
as part of my talk, I want to think a little bit more about light and darkness, about good and bad, about joy and sadness. And the way I'm going to do it is by using a couple of poems and also a metaphor. We've already had a metaphor of seeds, and actually Pauline told us that lovely story about the eagle, and the eagle's flight is a metaphor for rising above the worries and the concerns and the anxiety and the weariness of world. Jessica's really interested now. She's sitting on a chair, that's great. So I'm going to start by reading a little poem called From the Crest, and it's by a man called Wendell Berry. He's working a metaphor about our lives being like a farm, so listen carefully. I'm trying to teach my mind to bear the long, slow growth of the fields and to sing of its passing while it waits. The farm must be made a farm, endlessly bringing together heaven and earth, light and rain, building and building back again, the shapes and actions of the ground. And Wendell Berry says that actually, in many ways, our congregation's a little bit like a farm, because in our community, in our parish, in our families, we all work and grow together. On a farm, we have houses, barns, horses, chickens, dogs, other animals. We also have people, we have seasons, we have weather, we have babies. We have all sorts of things, machinery and tools, that have their place, that have their pace, and that is steady and relaxed as part of the rhythms of the farm. Mark's Tay is no different. We have all the different people and things and shops and cars and buses and communities and families and churches and pubs that make us who we are. Everything's connected to everything else. But farms respond to the passing of the seasons. And the passing of the seasons help us to learn patience and attentiveness. But do you know what? The farm isn't neat, is it? There's all sorts of stuff going on there. And actually, lots of things that go on a farm and in a village are out of our control. The weather's unpredictable. The markets are unpredictable. The people, the soil, it's unpredictable. But learning to work in long, steady rhythms like the seasons helps us to participate, not control, but participate in things. The reason why we know we don't control is because things invade our lives. Things like sadness, it invades. Loneliness can stalk us. Grief can kind of stretch. Illness can threaten us. Redundancy might bring us fear for tomorrow. Poverty could be around the corner. And sometimes, unexpectedly, joy and beauty explode into our lives. So that's my first metaphor of the farm. The passage that we heard read, the psalm that we heard read, is actually about the Israelites going back to Zion after a long period of exile. And they went back thinking, oh, this is going to be great. We're going home. This is going to be beautiful. This is going to be wonderful. And actually it was. Their mouths were filled with laughter, the psalm tells us, because the Lord had done great things and the nations knew, they took notice, and the nations were also filled with joy. But actually that feeling of victory and jubilation didn't last. And the reason was because things didn't go quite as smoothly as they hoped. We're doing a series on Nehemiah at the moment, and Nehemiah is about people going back to Israel after they've been in exile and trying to rebuild stuff, rebuilding the walls, trying to sort things out. It doesn't go smoothly. And so the Israelites, when they get back to Zion, they cry, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord. be with us in this difficult time. The psalmist too reflects poetically on this whole process of those who sow with tears will reap with joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves of wheat with them. So with God, even out of our ashes comes beauty. Even out of our times of weeping or loneliness comes tears of joy. We can't always choose, can we, what kind of soil we land up in, what kind of situation we find ourselves in. We can't choose whether we're going to land up in a storm. But nevertheless, we have choices in how we respond to these things that we find ourselves in. And do you know what? With growth and flourishing, just like a seed, growth comes slowly. Often it's imperceptible. What's happening under the soil, we can't see it. It's waiting for the right conditions to first push out a shoot and then a stalk and then some leaves and then a tree and then fruit. I want to read now a poem from this book, which is Ulrich Schaefer's book called Into the Light. And at the introduction to this book, he invites us all to come and take part in what it says. He says, come, let us search for God. He is waiting to be found. So this is a poem about growth and rootedness, and it's talking about a massive tree, probably an oak tree or something like that. Powerfully, I'm drawn to that which has grown slowly and driven its roots deeply, which has permanence and knows the pains of growth. To grow is my wish. But am I prepared to receive the wounds of life, to let any weather pass over me? Am I ready to give shelter to many, and yet to seek shelter only with you, Lord? I want to be radiant from the inside. I want to stand firm and to mature and to grow into you, to drive my roots deeply, to live through you. But I know, Lord, that the price is very high. The price of growth. What's he talking about? Well, I think there's a clue in that Matthew reading, read by so well by Tim. It's actually part of the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is talking to his disciples and a big crowd that has gathered on this mountain. And he's talking about the lilies, isn't he? He's talking about the things around them. But he says, don't worry. Don't worry about food, clothing, money. Don't worry about the things that our body, things that keep our minds occupied in life. Instead of worrying, look to your Heavenly Father, because he knows all things and he grows all things in this wonderful world. Right at the end, there's a sentence that talks about the cost. And the cost is about flowing against the tide, about doing something differently to what other people are doing. Because while most people in the world are searching for more money, more food, nicer clothes, bigger houses, and there's nothing wrong with that. Those are good things. But Jesus is encouraging them. It's the order of things. Seek first God's kingdom, and all those other things will be added to you. The cost, though, is to be different to other people in that you're seeking God's kingdom first and not seeking the things that will perish and will pass away. So today, I invite you, take time to consider the seeds, which one day will produce a harvest. Take time to consider the lilies, Their beauty is not surpassed even by Solomon, the king, in all his splendor. Take time to seek first God's kingdom, because in God's kingdom you will have all you need to grow and to flourish. Amen.